Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 32, we'll read verses 8 through 11. Let's go ahead and read this responsively, starting together, and then every other verse, and then ending together. Psalm 32, 8, the Word of God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And together, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And let's pray. Lord, thank you for all the good that we have to rejoice about. You certainly have been good to us. It's been a wonderful week. And even the testimonies tonight just filled my heart. The Bible truths that we just heard that specifically touched different people, they touched me too. It's been such a full week. And I just pray that you'd help us end it in a way that would honor you and kind of tie it all together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That verse 11 is an amazing verse. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Now, the righteous have an awful lot to rejoice about. This truly is one of the secrets of the Christian life, is learning to find reason to rejoice versus find reason to complain, find reason to have fault or to be offended. It is an easy thing in this world to be offended. But every time we're offended, you and I have the opportunity to either accept that offense. The Bible uses the wording take up the offense, or to reject it. That offended me, but it didn't. Or that offended me. Maybe it should have. But you pick it up and you carry that offense around. There's a lot of opportunities in this world for that. There's a lot of opportunities in this world to complain. I mean, honestly, if we wanted to have complaints tonight instead of blessings, we all have things we could say. Oh, wait. I could give you 5 without even trying. 10 in minutes. I mean, in seconds. I could probably come up with 50 things to complain about in 2 minutes. The world is full of things to complain about. But yet God doesn't say, complain, you righteous. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because we have so many things to be excited about. We have so many things to experience joy again. To rejoice means to joy again. There are so many things in this life. We have so many legitimate issues that we could worry about tonight. I mean, legitimate issues. Some of us have huge things that are on our plate this week and situations that we don't know how to care for. And there's no solution in sight. Whether it's paying the bills or a sickness or a health issue or a relational issue or some emotional issue or something coming up this week that you don't really want to face and you've been trying not to think about it, but it's coming like a freight train at you. And I mean, if we wanted to tonight, we could all talk about our heavy burdens and all of those things. And there is certainly a time that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But the Bible teaches so clearly that the Christian life is to be one of rejoicing. And one thing that's really taken my heart and kind of grasped my attention through this Bible study on joy we're doing is how much of an expectation joy is in God's eyes. It is an absolute expectation that God's people will have joy. He expects it. And why wouldn't he? Because he's been so amazingly good. Why wouldn't he? I mean, it's like if you threw an awesome party for your kids, and I mean, you didn't go to the dollar store to get decorations, you went to the party city. And you didn't buy the cheap cake. You went and got a nice cake. And I mean, you just had the place decorated. You had gifts on the table, far more than they deserved. Expensive gifts, exquisitely wrapped. And man, I mean, everything's in place. You had an amazing day planned. And at the end of the day, your child was like, cake was okay. And I appreciate that. That's not the color of present I wanted. I would have preferred this color. And you know, the meal was all right. What would that do to your heart? It'd kind of be like, wouldn't there be an expectation if you went all out? Wouldn't there be an expectation that, hey, they're going to be really excited about this? And I submit to you this evening that God gives us awesome things all the time, especially for us. Blessings specifically tailor-made for you. And God says, they're going to be so happy. Woo! They're going to rejoice! But yet, often we don't. Because we're too busy complaining about the little things that we miss the great things God's doing. When we were in college, there was one man, he would always get up at least once a semester, or once a year, once a college year, he would sing a song. And he was an older man, and he didn't have a great voice. It wasn't like he had this shining voice. Matter of fact, his voice was kind of like this. And this is how he would talk. And he would get up and sing, "Aah!" But he always sang the same song. And every time it broke my heart. Every time he sang it, it was like God would descend upon the place and we would feel like, wow. And the song was this: what's wrong with my children? Why don't they praise me? I've given them everything, yet they have no joy. And every time he sang it, something in my heart would be like, he's exactly right. There's something wrong with me that I am not rejoicing in the blessings of God today. And it was such a powerful truth that even his voice couldn't make the pain go away. What's wrong with my children? How many of you remember that? You were there. Why won't they praise me? I've given them everything, yet they have no joy. You think that, boy, that's a beautiful, you know, it's like, but the truth was so powerful, and he was such a, I believe he was just filled with the Spirit, and he would get up there and sing it with tears in his eyes, and it would be like God throwing a dart in my heart. And it would hit me right where I lived because he's exactly right. I imagine God tonight saying, what's wrong with my children? Why won't they praise me? I've given them everything, yet they have no joy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that child that no matter what the father does, it's never good enough. I don't want to be that child that no matter what a great day we have, we could be at Disneyland, but one child with a bad attitude could ruin the day. I don't want to be that kid to my Heavenly Father. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. Because the truth is, this verse reminds us, verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Why would we rejoice? Because we have so much to thank God for. And you tonight in giving the testimonies, wow, wasn't that heartwarming? Listening and reliving some of those things. And the truth is, you can enjoy what happened this past week, all week this week, by rejoicing in it. You can relive your salvation this week by reliving it or rejoicing. The word rejoice is so powerful. Get this, on-demand gladness. You push a button and there's joy. Rejoice. Why? Because I go back to all the blessings God's given me. And they're just as precious now as they were last week, last month, last year, last decade. And God is still as good today as He was when He did that. He's still as merciful and graceful today as He was when He gave those things. He's still as awesome today. Rejoice. And then the Bible talks about shouting for joy. We'll talk about this later in the month, but God's pretty specific about that our praise, our joy should be visible to others. You ever see somebody, and I'm guilty of this, you know, walking around like they're dying. It's like, hey, why aren't you happy? I am. On the inside. You know, it's like, no, really. Really, I'm happy on the inside. Well, then you better tell your face, because somewhere between there and here, there's a disconnect. And God's talking about our joy should be visible to others, whether that's verbal joy, the countenance of the face, the singing, the shouting, the praise, you know, the raising of a hand in praise, the smile, whatever it is, there should be visible joy. Because what you'll find when you study joy in the Bible is joy is a powerful evangelistic tool. Because the whole world wants to be happy. And if anybody in the world should be happy, it should be God's people. Because He's been so, so good. I think this would be a good verse to memorize, don't you? Psalm 32:11, let's say it together. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truth of the Word of God this evening. Lord, You've given us so much to think about, so many blessings that we can relive, so many wonderful gifts from on high. And Lord, it's easy to get bogged down in the trouble, the problems, the pain, the trials. But Lord, through it all, may we see Your grace and Your hand, and may we choose that although we must bear heavy burdens at times, that we'll do it with joy. We have an awful lot to be happy about, to be glad about. Thank You for being such a good God to us. And Lord, I want to give You the praise that Your goodness deserves. Help me to be grateful and thankful. And may our church be a happy church. May it be a joyful church where people are excited to be saved, excited to be called by Your name, and doing Your work with joy, serving the Lord with gladness. So we thank You for this truth. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll give You just a moment. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Hey, we got a lot of good things to focus on. Let's do it. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's stand. We'll have a moment of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, don't allow the brevity of the message to keep you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. As the piano plays, people are already coming forward.